It's always good to catch up with philanthropist and businessman Dick Smith because he makes you think. He doesn't open his mouth unless he's really thought about his opinion. And when he has an opinion, he's extremely passionate. He is concerned that today's young people are going to have no savings and they're going to be forced to live in Chinese-style high-rise apartments unless immigration is urgently slashed. He says younger voters are the group least likely to criticise record high immigration, even though they're the ones most likely to be locked out of the housing market and probably not be able to buy, not even in the future. Dick Smith has 9 grandchildren. He says woke young voters are more likely to back the Greens and believe all the critics of high immigration are racists. He's on the telephone now. Dick Smith, always good to talk to you. Welcome back to Triple M.
Great to talk to you, Luke.
Interesting observation on my part. Dick, I have a daughter who's 28, son's 33. Nikki has 2 daughters in their late 20s. None of them interested in having children at all. Not on the horizon. Why? They say the cost of living, and they say the rents are so ridiculously high, they feel nervous. They don't know where they're going to live in 5 or 6 years, and they feel nervous about bringing children into the world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, this has come because of the record immigration. First of all, I'm pro-immigration, always have been.
Yes.
But I'm pro-immigration at the average that we've had for the last 30 years, which is about 70,000 a year. But last year, wait for this, last year it was 500,000. And that's just a ridiculous number. It means it puts the house prices up. So typical Aussie couples can't afford a house. And we believe that each generation should be a little bit better off than the previous generation. But at the moment, we're going backwards. And as you mentioned, we'll end up with people in high rise like Shanghai and not having a backyard for the kids to play in and a cubby house that can be built and things like that.
Politicians on both sides are saying almost the same thing. They're saying Australians have to get it out of their heads that they're going to have a quarter acre block with a backyard, a street wide enough to do a U-turn in and be able to play cricket in that street. They're saying those days are over and we have to learn to build up and not out. You don't accept that?
No, I don't accept it. It's utterly ridiculous. I mean, we make the decisions about how we operate our country. It's a democracy. And most Australians want to have a reduction in the ridiculous immigration levels. You remember Kevin Rudd said he believed in a big Australia and he was rubbished by everybody. Well, we've now got a government that's sort of a triple big Australia, because at 500,000 a year, we're going to end up with 50 million people in 2050, which is not far away. And this is an arid country. The Murray-Darling Basin, we've always heard that there's not enough water and not enough food would be grown. Well, if you double the population, you need twice as much food.
And resources. You're 100% right. If our young Australians aren't breeding, how do we then look after a tax base in 20 years' time? If we're not creating taxpayers, where do we get them from?
Yeah, this is the problem, of course, that the capitalism that you and I have sort of benefited from for the last 150 years requires constant growth. But you can't have constant growth in a finite world. One day you've got to stop. And I get told all the time, oh, Dick, we've got an aging population, so you have to bring lots more young people in. The problem with that is it just puts off the day of reckoning for our grandchildren to solve the problem. One day you have to stop growing. Maybe it's when there's 1 billion people in Australia. If you stop growing like China has to, you then have to get your growth from being more productive, being more efficient, things like that.
Do you believe that high immigration levels is part of the reason why the house prices are soaring? I mean, I can't believe it. Look, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, if you don't have $1 million in your back pocket, you're not going to be able to buy. And I'm talking about a first home. The median price in Sydney is $1.6 million.
It's ridiculous, but it is primarily driven. It's called the marketplace. And if you have lots more buyers than there are sellers and you can't keep up with building houses, the price go way up. So, yes, the prime reason for incredibly high house prices is the record levels of immigration. If we brought them back to 70,000 a year, you'd find That's been really good. It's grown Australia so well, and it's very generous by overseas standards. And then you'd be able to afford a house again.
You talk about resources. You talk about being able to provide. I mean, what are we looking at? Nearly 600,000, 700,000 migrants over 2 years. You're quite right. How are we going to feed people if immigration levels continue at that rate? But the immediate problem is, where are these people going to live now?
Yeah, and it's interesting because we're not building enough houses. But of course, the government's now decided that we're going to knock down houses and put up high rise. And
that's
a terrible pity. I mean, that's going backwards. That's going like China. Why don't we want to remain like Australia with the backyard for the kids to play in?
Is that an impossible dream now, though?
I think it is, because, look, not one political party has any population plan. Wait for this. Even the Greens, you'd think the Greens would have a population plan, but they don't. It's just constant growth, mainly driven by the wealthy billionaires. They just want more and more money. They're only worth $20 billion. They want $40 billion. So they put pressure and donations to the government to keep the growth. And those billionaires don't care about their grandchildren, because they'll be the ones who'll be suffering.
I spoke recently to Senator Nick McKim, who chaired that Senate inquiry into Woolies and Coles, as you know, in Canberra last week. We're talking about a fair price for groceries for consumers and a fair price for farmers at the farm gate. Now, you were very involved in manufacturing food at a reasonable price, but concentrating on it all being Australian made and owned. If there was a separate aisle, Dick, if there was a separate aisle in Woolies and Coles and it only sold Australian owned and manufactured food, for me, that would be the first aisle I'd go to. And I have people laugh at me saying, well, that's all very patriotic of you, Luke, but you're being ridiculous, because it would be the most expensive aisle in Woolies and Coles. Do you accept that?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I'd love to. It would be wonderful if Woolies or Coles would try something like that. I think it could work, just as you think it could work. There are many Australians who are prepared to pay a bit more to support the home team and to be patriotic. That can happen. But at the moment, I don't see any of the big supermarkets doing it.
You, as I said, you tried for many years and you did it for nothing. You did it for a non-profit. You supported local farmers and you made Australian made your Aussie. I remember that breakfast cereal you made. I loved it. I bought every packet when I heard that it was going to stop. Was that a futile operation? I know your intentions were good, but did you lose money out of it?
No, look, we ended up, we gave, in fact, I think it was 19 years we ran Dick Smith Foods.
19?
And we gave $11 million away, which was fantastic. And I think we gave about $300 million in turnover to Aussie farmers. But you're absolutely right. In the end, we couldn't compete. The biggest problem was Aldi, because Aldi would say, instead of getting their peanuts from Aussie farmers and making the peanut butter here, they went to Argentina and they get Argentinian peanuts, then make the peanut butter in Argentina incredibly cheap. And whereas Aussies would pay 30 cents more for Australian peanut butter, they wouldn't pay a dollar more. And in the end, we're about a dollar dearer than Aldi, and people would complain to us, why are you ripping us off when we were just employing Australians and making hardly any money at all?
So you couldn't win?
No, we couldn't win. Look, mostly when people are in the supermarket, they're not feeling that patriotic. It's a bit of a hassle buying the food, and I think they want the cheapest, especially with prices going up. They want the cheapest possible, so they'll just buy what's on the shelf.
How difficult was it for Dick Smith Foods to get on those supermarket shelves at eye level?
At eye level, no, because they put at eye level the products they make the most money out of. That's typical business sort of thing. But we didn't have a problem. Coles and Woolworths were pretty good in taking our products. In fact, Coles once, when we ran out of peanuts for the peanut butter because of floods up in Kingaroy, Coles actually left the space on the shelf for us with a little notice saying, we're waiting for the farmers to come again. So that was fantastic. I always remember that.
Wow. I didn't know that. But you didn't sell in Aldi.
No, we didn't sell in Aldi because it's German-owned by two very wealthy, secretive people, and I don't really support it. They're only here to take money out of Australia. At least with Coles and Woolworths, with all their criticism, their profits stay here. They're in lots of people's superannuation funds, And it's quite fantastic to me that we actually own two food supermarkets because everything else is foreign owned.
Dick Smith is with us. Dick, a number of years ago when they allowed relatives and next of kin of World War One veterans, because they ran out of World War One veterans, they allowed their heirs to march. And I marched that day and I saw you. And you were over near Town Hall with a sign saying thank you. And I went over and said hello. I don't know whether you remember or not.
I do remember that. Yes, I used to hold up my sign. I think I did it for about 10 years.
Well, I remember you the day I marched for my pop, and I we had to pause for a while, and I went over and said g'day. Anzac Day just around the corner. Dick Smith, what does it mean to you?
Well, it means how lucky I've been and you have been. I mean, we were born, we've won the lottery of life being here in Australia, and myself, I just missed out on going to Vietnam where my mates went and some of them lost their lives. So I've had this wonderful being born in 1944. I'm now 80, never had to go to war and benefited from this wonderful country that we live in.
To any returned veteran, male or female, listening to this program today, what's your message?
Well, thank you very much, because that's the reason we're free. We're a very lucky country, and that's because if you remember when Hitler in the Second World War, his plan was to take over the whole world. And so Aussies fought and we won in the end, thank heavens. I'm a bit worried about what's happening now. You never know what's going to happen in the future, but we've been very lucky, Luke.
We have indeed. Dick Smith, always good to talk to you. Let's talk again soon one day, hey?
Wonderful. Thanks very much.
Dick Smith here on The Night Shift on Triple M.